Bible this morning, turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 8. I'm going to deal with a thought this morning out of verses 14 through 18 that we talked about just a little bit last week. Of course, the Lord moved in and directed the service otherwise, and certainly I don't mind that at all. I appreciate the Lord moving in. Matter of fact, if He doesn't show up, if He doesn't do something, it'll all be void and vain anyway. We need the Spirit of God even in this service today. Now, I realize that every service is not the same. We don't always certainly swing from the chandeliers, maybe every service. Maybe we ought to. Maybe we could or we should. But nevertheless, we realize that God orders things differently. And so we feel like, again, that God's directed our heart back here to the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 8. I'm going to start reading verse number 14 down through verses number 18. And look at the thought this morning out of verse number 17. And think about it as we said last week. And think about this thought that Jesus took my place. Jesus took my place. That makes it personal today. And I pray this morning, friend, if that has not become personal to you, that this very day, this very hour, again, that you would allow the Spirit of God to speak to you and draw you, and certainly this day receive Christ as Savior. And then could I say this morning for those that are saved that we ought to rejoice in the salvation that we have through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know today your salvation did not come cheap. It came with a high cost, and that cost was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And that ought to excite us today. That ought to put a smile on our face knowing that He loved you and I that much, that He was willing to take our place. It was not Him that deserved to die on the cross. It was you and I that deserved to be in that place. But He took my place. And He took your place. And so this morning, if this thing's not got real personal to you, I pray that it will before we complete the message today. And I pray again that the Spirit of God will work among us and certainly do that work in our hearts and our lives today that needs to be done. Maybe somebody here this morning just needs to be reminded that He took your place. And maybe someone here today needs to realize that He took your place. With that being said this morning, I'll ask you to stand out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God if you're able to stand this morning. And if you're not, that's certainly okay. Matthew chapter number 8, starting in verse number 14. Now, we've been preaching out of the book of Matthew now for a good little while. And we spent a couple of Sundays looking at Jesus healing the leper, Jesus healing the centurion's servant. And so we come now down to verse number 14, and we see that Jesus is healing once again. We see that these scriptures teach us about His touch, certainly about the healing of His touch and also the healing of His word. Then we look in verse number 14, and the Bible says, "And when Jesus was come unto Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever." And notice in verse 15, "And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." Notice that. And now verse 16 says, "And when evening was come, they brought unto him many," notice that, "many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his," watch it again, "his word, and he healed all that were sick." There's no telling how many that Jesus touched that day, and how many heard His word that day and were changed forever. Notice in verse 17, the Bible says this is where we want to settle in this morning with the help of the Lord, "that it might be fulfilled," notice in verse 17, "that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying," now notice this next word, "himself." Notice that is capitalized, noting here an importance that we look at this word, "himself." Notice that "himself," notice, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave commandment to depart unto the other side. I love verse number 17. I pray that we could get a hold of that again. That saying, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." May the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Lord, to thank you for another day on this side of eternity, to thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, to thank you for this privilege that we have to be able to come to worship you today in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the teaching. We thank you for the beautiful singing and every prayer, Lord, that's been offered, every hand that's been lifted. Lord, I just pray right now, Father, as your servant, Father, that you anoint me one more time with fresh oil. God, I pray as I stand in this place, I realize, Father, that I stand in a place where no man can stand alone and accomplish the will of God. Lord, I don't know the needs of hearts here to this morning, but Lord, I know that you do. If there's someone here today that's never come to the realization, Lord, that you took our place there on the cross of Calvary and took our infirmities and our sicknesses, Lord, I pray right now this morning, God, that you'd put them under Holy Ghost conviction and bring them to that realization here this morning. And then, Father, for those that are saved and redeemed by your good grace, may we be reminded, Lord, of the great salvation, Lord, that we so enjoy, Lord, not only today, but for all eternity, Lord, and because of your willingness, Lord, to take our place. Now, Lord, again, I pray, touch this service, anoint it, Father, with your presence and your power. Thank you for your word this morning. I pray now, use us, and Lord, we're going to thank you, and we're going to praise you for what you're going to do, and it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments this morning, I again want to go back here to the Gospel of Matthew and think about that Jesus took my place, or Jesus took your place. Could we be reminded today that the greatest of all miracles that we see in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, again the ministry as he touches and as he speaks, and again there's probably no doubt many were touched and healed, and demons were people that were demon-possessed, they were cast out. So that Jesus was doing a great work. I mean, great miracles were taking place. And you say, well, preacher, I don't know whether I believe all that or not. Well, see, that's your problem this morning. Listen to me, my friend. I'm glad this thing is a faith journey. And certainly what God has said in his word, we must trust and trust by faith. And so this morning, certainly I'm glad that this is a faith journey. And so again, the greatest of all miracles, out of touching all those and healing them, and the demons being cast, the greatest of all miracles this morning, friend, the greatest of all miracles is that day and that time when the Holy Ghost of God convicted you and drew you to a place of repentance and receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there's no greater miracle that ever takes place on this side of eternity than someone that is lost and undone without the Lord Jesus and receives him into their heart and into their life for their life and their eternity to forever be changed because of his touch and because of his word. I'm telling you, that's still the greatest of all miracles. My friend, you say, well, preacher, is it about every time somebody gets gloriously born again? I want you to know that's the greatest miracle that could ever take place. Preacher, we're not living in the times of miracles. Listen, friend, there's miracles every day. God is still on the throne. God is still able. God is still blessing. God is still working. God is still moving. And could I say hallelujah? I'm glad God is still able this very day to move in this service this morning and do and perform a great miracle for an individual, for individuals, and even for this church this morning. You say, preacher, do you believe that? Oh, absolutely. If I didn't believe it, I'd close the book and go home. I serve a great God. I serve the mighty God. I serve the one, hallelujah, that has power, the power to do all things this morning. Hallelujah. It's only by our weakness of our faith and our disobedience this morning that God's not able to work even in this very service this morning. He's able. And the greatest of all miracles is when I think about when he took my place. Notice as he's healing, he's touching. Even here in these verses of Scripture, it talks about how he touched Peter's mother-in-law and how she was healed. And how he spoke and these people were healed and the demon spirits were cast out and so many were healed. that were sick. What a great God we serve. Again, this morning, to even to begin to try to understand the magnitude of what Christ was willing to go through for somebody like me and for somebody like you. For you and I this morning, it is beyond unexplainable. There is no possible way to put to words and try to explain the greatness of what our God done for you and I when He was willing to place Himself and take our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. No possible way. But again, this morning, I am sure thankful that I don't have to understand it. I'm glad I don't have to explain it all. All I have to do is to trust Him, to trust Him by faith. And friend, it's just that simple for you as well this morning. All we have to do is to trust Him by faith. And so this morning I'm thankful that I've been able to experience a miracle in my own heart and in my own life. That miracle of salvation, that miracle that He was willing to take my place. Now let me give you a few verses of Scripture before I give you the points that the Lord's placed upon my heart for this morning. Of course, Isaiah chapter number 53 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs, hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us," speaking of Christ, "who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in Him." What a miracle! Hallelujah! Thank God for what He done. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "who His own self," again speaking of Christ, "who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And so there's many other scriptures that we could lay before your ears and your heart here this morning. But just a few to remind us that He took our place. Now, I don't know about you, but in life I've not had too many people to step up and take my place in certain areas of life. Now, we've all had help from someone and someone willing to step up and fill in for us. Brother Kent just filled in last Sunday night and Wednesday night for me, and I appreciate that so much. Preacher, I know you've done a great job. And in other areas of life, we've had people to step up and say, "Listen, I'm willing to do this for you. I'm willing to work for you. I'm willing to take this place for you. I'm willing to help you out here." But friend, I want to tell you what, there was only one. Thank God, before the foundation of the world, hallelujah, that was willing to step up and say, "I will take your place." Hallelujah, on an old rugged cross, "I'm willing to take your sin debt and the sin debt of the whole world, and I'm willing to nail it to a cross." See, the only thing that would satisfy the heart and the mind of God was a blood sacrifice. And we have it all through the Old Testament. Sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. But hallelujah, thank God, 2,000 plus years ago, there on a hill called Mount Calvary. You say, "Preacher, don't you get tired of telling about it?" Oh no, it still excites this preacher to think about an old hill called Calvary this morning, where one was willing to go and take my place and fill my sin to a cross. Hallelujah, this morning, my friend. I'm telling you, let we ought to be reminded and we ought to rejoice for those that are saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking my place. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you're here this morning, you're playing church, you're playing like things are all right, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would ring your bell and bring you to the realization today that without Him, that you're lost and you're undone, and that you need a Savior, and that you'd see Him hanging on the cross of Calvary and bleeding and dying and suffering for you and taking your sin. I'm glad, thank God, He's still not on that cross. I'm glad they laid Him in the tomb, and 3 days later He got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And because He lives, I live this morning. Oh, what a great salvation that we should enjoy here this morning. What a salvation. He took our place himself. Notice again in the text. See, as you walk through, as we walk through this New Testament, as we walk through the Gospel of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, they'll give us a different perspective of who Jesus is. Now, I don't have time to get into all that this morning, but we see here in the Gospel of Matthew, he's looking at these miracles. He's talking about that touch and that word. And then in verse 17, he reminds us himself. Makes me think and go back to the book of Genesis. Where Abraham was told to take his son, his darling son Isaac, and take him up on that mountain and to sacrifice him. And boy, they went through all that process, as many of you well know. They went through that whole process. I mean, Abraham was actually going to do it. I believe with all my heart, he drew the knife back to take his own son's life because God told him to do it. But then there was something that said, hold up just a minute. Oh, hallelujah, this makes the cold chill just run all over me. Hold up just a minute. Abraham, you're not going to have to do it. Why, Abraham, are you not going to have to do it? Because God himself. Go back and look at it. The Bible says God himself shall provide a lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the Lamb of God. John looked over the River Jordan one day and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I don't know about you, but hallelujah, this preacher's rejoicing this morning. I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing in my heart. I'm rejoicing in my soul to know that he took my place. Hallelujah. And I didn't deserve one bit of it. You didn't deserve it. And for a sinner friend, you don't deserve it either. But himself took our infirmities and our sicknesses. And we'll get into that in just a moment. I've got three very simple things. And they're very simple and they're very elementary. You say, boy, I hope they're fast. Well, we'll see. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. I believe it will. Jesus took my place. I probably wouldn't even have to say another thing if we'd really get a hold of that. He took my place. Brother Archie, when I should have been there, he said, I'll go. Amen. I'll go. Three things quickly I want to share with you this morning. Number one, I want us to think about our sickness. To think about our sickness. You say, preacher, I'm perfectly fine. Do you understand this morning that there are so many people in this world that thinks they're perfectly fine? That they have no need of anything this morning. But could I say this morning, you are in desperate need. Oh, I was in desperate need. This world is in desperate need. Oh, physically we may be fine. But even in all that, friend, eventually we're going to face our physical ailments. These bodies are flesh. These bodies are weak. And because of the sickness, they're all going to one day pass away. Yes, preacher, I'm perfectly fine. I'm a young person. I can run and I can jump and boy, I can do all these things. Listen, all that will soon go away as well. Our sickness, preacher, I'm perfectly fine. I'm perfectly fine. I have no needs this morning. Friend, if you do not know Christ as Savior, you have the greatest need of all needs today. Oh, I wish I could drive home the thought of just how badly you need Christ today. Because there's a sickness Preacher, what are you talking about, a sickness? That sickness this morning is sin. That sickness is sin. Well, preacher, I'm a pretty good person. Preacher, I try to do the best I can. Preacher, I don't try to hurt no one, and I don't steal, and I don't rob, and I don't kill, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. Well, as you well know this morning, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Listen, there's nothing wrong with living a good moral life. I wish people were more concerned about that. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Thank God for a good moral life. Thank God. I can remember a time where it seemed like everybody had some morals. Everybody cared about somebody, Brother Richard. Most people were good neighbors and good morally, and they truly cared about people. But today, I'm going to be honest with you, there don't seem to be many people that's got any morals or even cares anymore.
Right.
And so many times, I'm afraid some of them sitting in church pews.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, I guess we ought to preach now, huh? Amen. Everybody loves it right now. But we know the Bible teaches us today that our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Oh, if mankind today, if this congregation this morning could understand and realize the great barrier that our sin brings, oh, dear God, we'd want to do something about it. Well, preacher, I'm saved. I'm saved and I don't sin anymore. Well, I'd love to talk to you after the service today. See, you've already sinned because you just lied. Now, that doesn't mean we have a license to sin. You know, I don't preach that. I believe when a person gets saved and gloriously born again, I tell you what, there'll be something in the movement on the inside of you when you realize Jesus took your place and you receive Him into your heart. There'll be some things that take place in your life that you don't want to go out and willfully sin anymore. I believe that. I preach that. But somewhere along the line, you're going to mess up. Thank God He took my place. I see this morning our sickness. Cancer's bad. Heart disease is bad. Alzheimer's is bad. There's not an individual in this building this morning that either you yourself personally or your family has not been touched by some sickness. And all that started way, way back yonder by that first Adam. But I'm glad there's a second Adam. That the book of Romans teaches us about that first Adam. We took on a sin nature because of the sin there in the garden. And because of that sin brings about all the sicknesses and all the things that we see take place in our land, that the disease and all the things that's taking place. Listen, we can trace it all back to that garden there where sin took place. Romans tells us about that first man, Adam. Or that first Adam. But He also tells us about a second Adam. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for that second Adam that come to do what? To take our place. I see our sickness. Now notice from the text this morning, we have two words that I want to deal with here for just a moment, and then I'll move on. Notice He says here in verse 17 that He took our infirmities. That word infirmity, as it's used in our King James Bibles this morning, simply means feebleness. It means frailty. It means disease. It means infirmity. It means sickness. It means weakness. He took our place because of our own frailties this morning and our own feebleness this morning. He took our place. Why? Because we couldn't help ourselves. just like in our text as we've been studying and looking and preaching, just like the leper couldn't help himself, just like the paralytic couldn't help himself, just like the fever that Peter's mother-in-law had, she couldn't help herself, just like all the ones that he touched, and we don't know how many he touched, but thank God, I'm glad he's still touching today. Why? Because of our frailties and our weakness and our disease this morning. Because of our infirmity. And that sin has brought a greater infirmity. That sin of unbelief. Notice not only does he talk about, here in the text this morning, infirmities, but he talks about sickness. That word sickness, as it's used, it means disability. In other words, friend, you can't help yourself. You can't heal yourself. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, preacher. I'll just go to one of these faith healers. Friend, you're just wasting your time. Because all they really want is your money anyhow. I'm glad there's... thank God I'm glad there's one today that didn't make any difference how much money you have or don't have. Amen. It doesn't make any difference how much you have or you don't have. It doesn't make any difference what you've done or what you hadn't done. I'm glad this morning, thank God, there's one that took my place. My infirmities, my sickness. Preacher, why does so many bad things happen to good people? And I guess we've all asked ourselves that question. Why does bad things happen to good people? And I'll just be honest with you, I can't answer all those questions. I do know that sin has brought about sicknesses. And these bodies are frail. Oh, we think we're Superman. Do you be Superman today and laying in the hospital before dark this evening? Grasping for your next breath. These bodies are very frail. He made us. I just can't imagine going back to that original design in the original garden. And man never had a headache. Never had a heartache. Huh? Cancer was not evident. Alzheimer's was not evident. Heart disease, but sin. And so God told Adam, the day that you sin, you shall surely die. And even though he didn't physically die that day, the body began to take on a whole different aspect and shape than what it was originally designed. But I'm glad I'm going to get one of them bodies one of these days. It won't hurt anymore. Why? Because somebody took my place. We see our sickness. Let me give you some things about this sickness, and I know I've got to hurry. We inherited this sickness, as I've already said, from that first Adam. Not only something else about these sicknesses and these infirmities, they're incurable without divine intervention. Without divine intervention. And ultimately it brings about certain death. But again, thank God for Genesis 22:8, where God told Abraham he would provide himself a lamb. Not only do I want to see our sickness, but secondly, and I've already talked about it, so I'll move on quickly with it, but I see our sacrifice. I love that word himself in verse 17. Again, notice that it is capitalized. In our English language, letting us know that certainly that is of importance. That's a personal pronoun, if you will. That's putting a title, if you will, upon that word himself. And so, in essence, what it's saying is Jesus. Why? Because nobody else could. And nobody else would. But himself. Himself took our infirmities and our sicknesses. Ultimately, he became our sacrifice. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In other words, no forgiveness. You understand today that if he had not took my place, Brother Richard, if he had not took your place, Miss Wilma, if he had not took your place, Brother Archie, if he had not took your place, we'd be in a whole heap of trouble this morning. We'd still be in sin. And we'd still be under the condemnation of sin. The penalty of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So yes, there's a sickness. But thank God, there's a sacrifice. I'm glad the book of Hebrews tells us and teaches us that thank God once and for all. Once and for all, Jesus took our place. Listen, I don't have to go and sacrifice a lamb. I don't have to go and sacrifice a turtle dove. I don't have to go and sacrifice a bull. I don't have to go sacrifice anything because the price has already been paid. It is finished. It is finished. I see our sacrifice. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Y'all hearing me? I don't believe you're getting it. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, all that was a picture, but by His own blood, He entered in once. That high priest would have to go in year after year, and they would have to tie that rope around his leg in case he got in there and fell dead in that holy of holies. I'm telling you, but the Bible teaches us once and for all. Hallelujah. Thank God the great high priest of all high priests entered into that holy place. You say, what place is that? I'm telling you what, that tabernacle was just a picture of what God's already got in heaven. I believe that with all my... I'm telling you what, I'm glad, thank God once and for all, Brother Ken. He took some precious blood, and not just any blood. It was His own blood that He shed on that Calvary's hill. And once and for all, He poured it on that mercy seat. And God said, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. The debt's been paid. You took their place. Hallelujah this morning. Once and for all. And obtained eternal redemption for us. Preacher, what does all that mean? That means that you're saved now. If you've trusted Christ, that means you're saved now, Brother Archie. Right. You'll be saved tomorrow. Amen. You'll be saved next week. Right. You'll be saved next year. You'll be saved 5 years from now. You'll be saved 50 years from now. 5,000 years from now, you'll still be saved. Why? Because of the sacrifice, and He Himself was willing to take our place this morning. That ought to make a dried up Baptist just stand up and shout hallelujah. Much less one that's anywhere near right with God. Amen. Why? Because there was a sickness, but we see there's a sacrifice. Let me give you a couple of things about that. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh, what a Savior. What a salvation. I want to give you three things about the sacrifice. Number one, it was His destiny. He said, I'll go. So I already said, while I go before the foundation of the world, He said, I'll go. Listen, when He come to this low land of sin and sorrow, yes, He touched the leper. Yes, He touched the centurion's servant. Yes, He touched Peter's mother-in-law. Yes, He healed many that were around Him on that day. But His destiny was Calvary. From the time that He was born, before He's ever born in Bethlehem, He had Calvary in His eye. His destiny shows us His loyalty to His Father. You understand that Jesus never sinned? Well, preacher, you said everybody sinned. Yeah, everybody but one. Because if He had ever sinned, if there had been one time He'd ever backtalked His Father, listen to me, kids. Ooh, There might be some preaching right here.
Amen.
He never backtalked his father once. He never disobeyed his father once. Well, he got quiet. Preacher, I don't know where I believe all that or not. Well, you believe what you want to, that's your problem. Never done one thing wrong. It was his destiny. That's the reason that he came. Was to take my place. How about anybody else in here come take your place? That was his destiny. That shows us his loyal. That he was loyal to the Father. Let me give you something else. I got to move on. Notice that it was not only in his obedience, our sacrifice being his destiny, but it was his desire. That shows us his love for mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life. Preacher, how much did Jesus love me? He loved you enough to take your place. To take your place and to make you a place. Woo! Hallelujah! I can shout on that. Not only to take your place, but to make you a place. So you don't have to die and perish without God. See, hell was not even designed for mankind, but for the devil and his angels. The Bible plainly teaches. Friend, if you go to hell, it'll be because of your rejection of him taking your place. I want you to see, not only was it his destiny, but it was his desire. His love for mankind, his loyalty to the Father, and it was his delight. The book of Hebrews. I love these verses of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, let me read them to you quickly. Verses 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, underline those words, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, it was his delight. He was glad to come and take my place this morning, friend. And for you to look into the face of God this morning and say, no, that's not for me. How sad that is. I see our sickness. I see our sacrifice. And thirdly, I said, I didn't have but three, so I'm getting close. I want you to see our salvation. There's one thing about the salvation this morning. You either receive it or you reject it. Now listen to me good. I'm about done. I don't want to lose you right here. There may be somebody right here today that needs this. You have two options when it comes to your sickness and the sacrifice. You can either receive the sacrifice and the salvation that God has so graciously provided, or you can reject it. Preacher, did you reject it? I sure did. I didn't get saved the first time God spoke to my heart. I'm just going to be honest, because God already knows. Matter of fact, I went for several years. But friend, I wouldn't recommend it. You may not have several years. God's long-suffering and God is merciful. God is gracious. I'm glad the Bible says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. But friend, time will run out. And you have two options right here this morning. In this wonderful place at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, you have two options. To either receive it. Now, if you've already received it, you ought to rejoice in it. You ought to go out and live for God. And I can preach there a while. And if you're here today without Christ, please don't reject it. There's people week after week after week hears the gospel message. And they say no for another time. And another time. And another time. Could I say it gets easier? Heart gets harder and harder and harder. And you say, well, I'm just going to wait. Well, just don't wait too late. Because one day time will run out. I'll get saved when I want to, preacher. No, you'll get saved when God's drawing you. According to the Gospel of John. Thank God for the drawing power of God. How do you know you're lost? Because He draws you. He lets you know. God doesn't want you going around confused and rattled and fretting and fearful all the time. He wants you to know. Man. And if you don't know, get it settled today. Yeah. There's a sickness. There's a sacrifice. But thank God for the salvation. You have the choice to receive it. You have the choice to reject it. Let me give you three things about this salvation. I'll give them to you quickly. Number one, it's paid for. Won't cost you a dime. It's a gift, according to the book of Ephesians. It is the gift of God. You can't buy a gift. You can't pay for a gift. It's already been bought and paid for. The salvation this morning is paid for. The salvation is precious. Because it is paid for. And because of the peace that it brings. You'll never have peace of... You'll never experience true peace with God until you receive the sacrifice that was made. It's paid for. It's precious. And thirdly, it's permanent. It's permanent. You say, preacher, I don't know this. Some teaches this and teaches that. Well, I truly believe the Bible teaches us that once you're saved, you're always saved. I've already went up 5,000 years. If you're really saved today, 5,000 years from now, you'll still be saved. Now, we'll be somewhere else, but we'll still be saved. Because, Brother Richard, we wouldn't be there if we wasn't saved. There's a sickness. There's a sacrifice to take care of all that. And then there's salvation. Friend, do you know, not just know about salvation, do you know it in your heart? Do you know that you've passed from death into life? If you don't, today would be a wonderful day to get it settled. We love you, but most of all, Jesus loves you. And He died to take your place. I wish every sinner in my family could come to the understanding that somebody took their place. I wish everybody in your family could realize that somebody took their place. I wish everybody across America could realize that somebody took their place. God help us to relay that message. It's one of the wonderful things I see about the Lord Jesus through these miracles that Matthew records. We see His compassion. Do you know Jesus is concerned about you? He didn't tell that leper no. He didn't tell that centurion, I ain't got time to fool with you. He goes to Peter's house and his mother-in-law is sick with a fever. He just touches her and she gets up and starts serving them. Is that what the Bible says? Ministering to them. That's what the word minister means, to serve. All them poor folk. I mean, just think about all the excitement, all the things that's taking place. I mean, people's being healed and demons are being cast out. And we don't have no idea of the amount of people. I believe it's a large number. The Bible said many. This book don't record all the miracles. But there's something about, I thought about it in closing. Jesus cares. irregardless of their background, irregardless of the reason they might have been in the position that Jesus cared. And Jesus cares for you today. Now you have a choice. Will you receive the salvation or will you reject it? And could I say, thirdly, this morning, those who say, will we rejoice in it? In rejoicing, will we pass it along and let somebody else know about it? That's what it's all about. Let's stand to our feet, Brother Scotty. Father, we love you today. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for these wonderful verses of Scripture this morning. Thank you for speaking to my heart. Thank you for helping me. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we've been able to say something here in the service this morning that the Holy Spirit of God has been able to grab somebody's heart and somebody's attention. Lord, if there's some among us today that's never been saved, I pray right now in the stillness of this service that the Holy Ghost of God will convict and draw. Lord, you have to do all that work. I've done all I can do. And I've tried to relay the message that you put on my heart. Lord, you have to do the rest. And then, Lord, there has to be a willingness of those that listen whether or not they're going to receive or reject what you have for them today. Maybe there's somebody here today that's never truly been born again. Lord, I pray, God, convict them right now. Bring them to the realization that you took their place. And this morning, if, Lord, maybe they'll just come. Lord, they'll just call upon you for salvation. Maybe there's some here today that's grown cold and indifferent. And Lord, they've not been rejoicing in the salvation, Lord, that you have provided them. And Lord, maybe they strayed from you. Lord, I am glad that you're compassionate and long-suffering. And Lord, you give us chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity. And Lord, I don't know anybody's heart here this morning. But Lord, you do. Lord, I just commit it to your hands. Lord, you do that which only you can do. And Lord, I'll thank you and I'll praise you. And it's in Christ's name. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we play softly.